to the Mop Show. I'm Mason on Business Startups. Q here. This is how I do things. Big ideas for small budgets. Let's get to it.
Hi guys, today's episode's all about conversion rates. The truth about why your marketing conversions aren't working the way you want them to do online. What is user experience, UX? Find out today's episode. And if you found it useful, please jump onto iTunes, give us a 5-star rating and share it on to someone else who might find it useful. Hey guys, welcome to the Mop Show. So I want to talk to you very quickly about conversions on your website and why conversions change depending on the data you use, and why and how you can improve your user experience, how you can test your user experience. So very often we build a website and it's great to us. We get a bit lazy, don't we? We all get a bit lazy. We go, we've made the website now, so we'll leave that as it is. It's good because I like it. We did a SMS campaign a week ago now for Payday Weekend with our own data that we had. Conversion rates were really good. In fact, it was the best ever direct contact marketing campaign we'd ever done. We still had some of the sales coming through this week. Did another one yesterday, less of a call to action. This one was more about bad weather, come visit the shops. This time we used data that we'd acquired in the past that wasn't, it was from an e-cigarette company who we bought their intellectual property related to their online platform. People who haven't really used our website before, the conversion rates, as you can imagine, would be lower. Now, why is that? Why is conversion rates lower on data that is not acquired through your website, but perhaps if you bought someone else's website? Very simple. Those people aren't familiar with your website, therefore they're not familiar with the user journey. They're not familiar with where things are, things they buy, and how they're going to find things. And perhaps they buy different things than you have on your website. Perhaps they're used to using a different website. So here's a little tip for you to do. What it tells you, for example, is that maybe your conversion, your user experience, isn't as simple to new users as those who are established clientele. Things change. Websites get change over time, don't they? Websites you use online improve. The experience on Google now is cleaner than it was 5 years ago. But you're familiar with Google and you're familiar with the changes and the iterations that it's gone through, so you're kind of committed to Google. If you'd seen Google like this now, 8 years ago, would it be as easy to use? Perhaps it would be, but it'd be a different experience, and it takes a bit of getting used to. A good example is when everyone moans on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook when they change their social media platform, how it works. Everyone goes, oh, I hate the new system. I prefer the old way. Now, obviously, it's been done because it's supposed to be more efficient for the data you get or the things you see. But it takes a bit of getting used to. So here's a little test. How to improve your user experience. User experience is the journey. So the user experience is how things are for users, not how things are for you. And you'll often hear it called UX. So if you ever see what UX, what's your UX, or UX specialist, or should improve your UX, it means user experience. It's a simplification of the term user experience. So what can you do to test your user experience? The best thing to do is to find someone who's never used your website before, and you think about, what do you want them to do? You want them to maybe buy a product you have on your website, perhaps a product you think you've got a good product in. Tell them the product and tell them to find it. In fact, be even more broad than that. So if your business is CBD and you sell CBD liquids or CBD oils, ask them, this person who's never used your website, it could be a friend, someone who doesn't buy on your website, say, I want you to find a CBD e-liquid and buy it. Here's my bank card, use my bank card, whatever, that's in and out of pocket. And time them how long it takes to find that product, how many screens they go through. Watch what their journey is. There are a number of tools that you can do for this. And then get someone else to do this. And then someone else. Get people of different ages to do this, different sexes. If you've got some different languages, it'd be good as well. And time how long it takes for them to do this. And ask them afterwards to score, what was the experience? And be brutally honest. Ask them, rather than say, how did you find the experience? Because they're always going to go, yeah, no, it's good, loved it. You say, what could be better? What would you find easier? What did you struggle with? And that's an open question. And the reason why open questions are valuable is because they're not loaded. They can't give you an answer that they think you want to hear. You're kind of forcing them to discuss more. With a closed question, how did you find that? Was that good? Yeah, it's good. Well, it doesn't give you any information. It just gives you what they think you want to hear. And also, it doesn't get them a chance to put them on the back foot and explain it more. If you ask them the question, what would be better? You ask them the question, what are we missing? What could we do differently? If you ask them those questions, you're forcing them to think, and you're forcing them to talk more. And that's where, and that's how the police work when they do interrogations. They ask you open questions because it puts you on the back foot. They won't always ask you open questions. They'll ask you some closed questions too. I speak from experience. But they'll ask questions that force you to think and start talking. And then you start talking and you start saying more things. And you're more likely to get an honest answer that way. So that's a real good tool to find out where you're going wrong and what you could do differently. And you can have a dialogue with people that you know. It's not a hard task to find someone to test your website. But the reason why you want to do this is you want to find out what you're doing wrong on your website. What's making the journey difficult? How long is it taking for them to find that product? And this will then tell you why external data or opt-in data that you might use or acquire for your business isn't converting as high as others. Now, sometimes it's because that data is just bang wrong. It's not data that's relevant to you. Sometimes it's because that data goes to spam boxes for email shots. Sometimes it's because they just don't trust you. They don't trust who this person is. And that's fair enough. Sometimes they have a brand they're loyal to. Sometimes they'll have a brand that gives them loyalty points and they want to spend their money there and get their points there. Any number of reasons. But you'll certainly improve your conversion if your user experience is better. You'll certainly improve your conversion on that data if your website is nicer to use, simple to use, quicker to use, has less forms to fill in. There's a phrase I once heard from a friend of mine called form fatigue. Form fatigue is how many times you go to a website and they make you put in a salutation. A salutation is Mr., Mrs., Lord, Reverend. What the hell is the point of asking for that information? But by asking for that information, you're taking away loyalty capital. And when I talk about loyalty capital, is loyalty capital is how long or how much you've got in the bank to ask someone. If you ask them to put first name, surname, company, fax number, landline, mobile, other telephone, other email number, multiple lines of address that more than you really need, you're taking away your loyalty capital. You're spending it on stupid things. You're spending it, you're expending that capital, that trust capital, on items that you didn't need to ask for. A good example of this is when we call it leadership capital. If you run a business and you run a really tough line on discipline, say your job is to try and get people to implement a new way of doing things in the business. It's a change of how they normally do things. It's different. It might be better for them in the long run, but it's different, and it takes a lot of effort for them to have to implement that. If while trying to explain to them this new method and methodology, you're making them sit through a couple of hours of presentations, and you do something like, right, no phones, turn your phones off. All of you turn your phones off. I don't want to hear a single phone. You're spending your leadership capital on that minor thing, the mobile phones. You're spending your leadership capital on forcing them to sit there for hours. How about, if you need to use your phones, it's cool. Just make sure it's important. You know, have a bit of courtesy, go out of the room. We'll break this meeting up in shorter chunks so it's nicer for you, so you can go and do other things and refresh yourself. Go grab a break. Don't expend your leadership capital on things that really aren't relevant to the final end task. The end task is getting them to go be on board and implement that new procedure. A lot of businesses struggle when they do this by implementing silly rules beforehand and missing the bigger picture. They're missing the priority. They're expending their leadership capital on small, insignificant things and forcing people to be less engaged on the big task. So likewise, on a website, form fatigue. Don't expend your loyalty capital on silly things like, are you a Mr. or Mrs.? Who the hell cares? Date of birth. There's so many things. For a postman, he needs to know the house number, the name, the road name would help, and the postcode. Doesn't need the county, don't need the nation, you can generally work that out. There's a lot of things there, you don't need multiple numbers, get one number. Yeah, sometimes it means you're going to have a number that's incorrect, but if one number's incorrect, chances are both numbers are incorrect. If one email's incorrect, the other one's going to be incorrect. There's too many things a lot of companies ask, and I think, why are you doing that? And one of the basic ones is first name, surname, name. Name's fine. Name is really fine. Don't waste your loyalty capital on nonsense, on form fatigue. So this is all part of the user experience journey. and time people. See how long it takes. On our website, Shopify, we use a as our e-commerce hosting platform for vapor juice, and we have a tool called Heat Maps, or it's Lucky Orange, that's it. And Lucky Orange tracks the user journey, so we can see how people move through the site, how long they're on the site for. And we can pick out the ones that have converted into basket and bought, and we can see how long they spend on the site. What's really interesting is if they're a new customer, a first-time customer, we can watch how the journey takes. And we can then time that against someone who's a returning customer, perhaps buying the same product. And we can go, right, okay, this took this person a lot longer. So we've got a loyal customer who knows the journey, knows where the products are, knows how to find the products. We don't really get a lot out of that. We certainly want to make sure the journey is improved and enhanced for them, and it's quicker page speed, loading time. Do you know what I mean? Access to loyalty points, things like that. But it's the new customers, because that's where we learn a lot. You get some people who are, maybe they can't find the product elsewhere on other sites, so they buy from you and you're getting a full sense of security. There's an e-liquid we have that we know that we're exclusive in the UK for. We know that not everyone has. A lot of people have it sold out, so it doesn't really matter. It does matter, but even if the journey is a bit shonky for them, because they can't buy it from anywhere else, we get their custom. Well, we don't want to look at that necessarily. We want to look at those where we're competing with others for the product. And you want to see how long the journey takes, and that's how you can improve it. So a little tip to improve your conversion rate on any data, and taking one problem out of the equation, is improving the user experience. How do you do it? Well, let's do the takeaway again. What's the takeaway from this podcast? User experience, UX. Get someone you know to travel through that website, get them to buy a certain number of products, or get them to buy a product in a category that meets certain requirements. So, for example, we're an e-liquid business, and different e-liquids have different strengths, different flavors. So you could make it a bit tougher, you can make it a bit of a challenge, because what you want to do is you want to make it as complex a task as possible, or as specific and as nailed down a task as possible, because you want to replicate the genuine experience of someone looking for a specific product. So say, for example, on your website you sell clothes, someone is looking for small jogging leggings for a woman or a man. You give someone that task, time it. How long does it take to find that product, that specific product? And if your search targets or search criteria on your website isn't specific enough, if it isn't user-friendly enough, you'll learn that, because they'll say, well, it took me 6 minutes to find the thing, and that would be too long, and someone would get bored and leave your site. Obviously, they're going to go through the whole process because they're doing you a test service of it. But someone else, you won't get that much time with them. You need to make sure the products they want can be found easily, irrespective of the category, the niche, the gender, the size, the color, the price point. And you can learn this by testing people you know and watching their journey through the website. That's the takeaway this weekend, user experience. So why is that relevant to conversion of data? If you've got data for people that have never used your site before and you want them to convert, you know perhaps they like gym clothes, you know perhaps they like ladies' makeup, or for us it's e-liquids and vape kits on Vape and Juice website. You know they like those products, so why are they not converting? Well, there'll be a number of reasons, but certainly let's take this one out of the equation, user experience. Test your user experience on people that have never used your website before and get a true picture of how long it takes to find a product. It might open your eyes. Once you've done that, you'll have some real tangible data as to how to improve the experience. Next time you do an email shot or a text message campaign or a flyer campaign or whatever your campaign is to drive traffic to your website, or an AdWords campaign, you'll take that one thing out of the equation: a bad user experience. Get user experience right, higher conversion, and you'll get a higher conversion not just from marketing campaigns, you get a higher conversion on your normal organic campaigns, where search engine optimization, people who come to your basket, if you've got a very, very low checkout conversion or a very, very low add to basket conversion percentage, that'll be because your user experience is poor. You can fix that. Get people you care about to help you improve your site. That's it. Have an amazing weekend. And that is the truth about why your email data is not converting. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend.
Thanks for listening to today's show. Check us out online, themobshow.com. Check us on Twitter, the_mobshow. Always chucking out bits of advice there. And follow our journey of setting up a CBD shop in the cannabis space. Instagram @localCBDshop. Or you can find ourselves on Instagram, the_mobshow.